This is an encore presentation of Armed American Radio.
Is Armed American Radio.
If they want to take my guns, they're going to have to bring a station wagon and a whole lot of friends, because I'm not giving them anything.
From the Carr Firearms Group studio
at the Patriot Mobile Communication Center
on the Sig Sauer Platinum microphone.
Mark, we know they want to take our guns, and now we're going to make them eat it.
Proudly presented to you by X Insurance.
X Insurance. X Insurance.
Here is your host of Armed American Radio, the loudest conservative voice in America fighting for your rights, Mark Walters.
Walters. Walters.
Oh, man, here we go. Greg, hour three already on our 15th anniversary. Can you believe it?
Yeah, zoom, zoom.
I got to throw this number out again because it fascinates me. I went back and I went, okay, because I was not real good at math. And if it wasn't for a kid named Kirk Poor when I was in college, I would have never gotten out of probability and statistics. Yeah, honestly. And I talked to him to this day. I thank him for that. So I'm telling you right now, ladies and gentlemen, I cheated my way through Radford University's probability and statistics class, and I probably shouldn't have mentioned his name, but I did. That was long ago enough, it really doesn't make any difference. But, Greg, 780 straight Sundays.
Yikes.
This makes today. 780. And I go back to my mother saying to me, can you do this every week for an hour? And I go back to my friend Tim Schmidt when he and I first came up with the idea for the program years ago. Can you do this every Sunday? Long before we even had a deal with a radio station. And I said, yeah, I can. I'm a loser. I got nothing to do on Sundays, right? But here we are, 780. And I'll tell you, I'm awful proud of the fact that we have never missed a show. No vacation has gotten in the way. No wedding has gotten in the way. And I'm going to tell you something right now.
Boy.
My niece is getting married in May, and I'm not going to be at her wedding because I can't get back in time to do this show.
Oh, man.
Now, my niece loves me to death. We're great friends, and she understands. But, you know, the logistics of it don't work for me. I have other family member representing, but this show is important. It's important to all of us. And there are certain things bigger than me and bigger than you. And I think what we talk about is one of those things. Now, you've been playing some great liners from some great friends of ours over the years, right?
Yep.
I got one from Carl Jackson. Great talk radio host. You know Carl, right?
Yep, I do.
So I was just a guest with Carl before we go to the group at the table. I was just a guest with Carl. He runs the Officer Tatum Show, which is a huge national syndicated program on Salem, right? Correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah, he fills in. Well, Carl fills in on a lot of shows here at Salem, but he was just recently filling in for Officer Tatum. Yep, that's correct.
He filled in for Officer Tatum. He's filled in for Larry Elder when Elder was running
for
office.
He did.
He's done a number of the daytime Salem. Well, he sent me this. I've not heard it yet, so I'm going to play this because I didn't have time to get it to you. So I'm going to hold this up, and I know Carl well enough that there won't be anything bad.
Let's hope.
Let's hope.
Walters, this is your homeboy, Carl Jackson of the Salem Podcast Network, the Carl Jackson Show, and frequent fill-in for Dennis Prager, Mike Gallagher, and the Officer Tatum. I just want to say thank you for everything that you do to provide America with the service that you do with Armed American Radio and helping to keep us informed and free. Congratulations on 15 years on the airwaves. And, man, I pray to God that you will be on for many, many, many more years to come. God bless you, man. Thank you for what you do to keep all of us free.
Wow, and I've got one more that I need to play, too, Greg, Christopher Hart from the American Adversaries.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, sure.
Right? You know Christopher well. I've got to find this because Christopher went out of his way to send this, and I love him to death. So let's play this from Christopher Hart from American Adversaries because Christopher Hart has sat in for me over the years.
You got to save it for the next segment.
The daytime show. You want to save it for the next segment?
Yeah, save it for the next segment. We'll
let's
come
do
back
that.
With it.
Let's go to the group. All right. So, Brad Primo, CEO of Lead Slingers. How are you, brother?
Doing great, Mark. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. You represent the next 15 years. Neil McCabe, you've been here in the previous hour, so I'm going to say, hi, how are you? Welcome back, my friend.
Hey, hiya, hiya.
Hey, hiya, hiya.
Happy 15.
Go order some ribs while I go over to Justin Moon real quick. Justin Moon, CEO of Carr Arms. How are you, my brother, from another mother?
Doing good, Mark. Thanks for having me.
Guys, 15 years on the nation's airwaves. And I'm going to start, Justin, with you. 15 years, a long time, Justin, and you've been a partner with me on this program for many of those years, and we couldn't do it without you. So let me say heartfelt thanks to you and Carr Arms and your entire staff. I know many of them over all these years. We've got some great stories to tell together. We get together at events around the country, and I want to thank you for that from the bottom of my heart. But let me ask you this. Over 15 years since you and I have been doing this together and since you've been running Carr Arms, where do you think we are today? Let's go back just to 15 years. Moving forward, where are we today that we weren't 15 years ago? It's kind of a tough question, but I'll turn it over to you and see what we get.
Well, you know, it's strange because in terms of gun rights, we've been winning and we've been expanding gun freedom all throughout the country. But at the same time, this massive tyranny is progressing in our country, and it's coming to a point where it's like a Marxist takeover versus, you know, liberty in America. I don't see how this country's going to stay together without a big, you know, confrontation of these two competing camps.
It is a clash, and it's well underway. Brad Primo, you know, you and I met years ago here at a gun shop, actually, is when we first met. We talked previous to that, but we met at a gun shop, and of course, we're of like mind, Brad. And you've participated. You represent the future of Armed American Radio as well. And so let me go back to 15 years ago, regardless of what you were doing and where you were. Where do you think we are now today versus all those years ago?
You know, actually, you know, you put it that way, I feel pretty good and optimistic because
good.
You know, 15 years ago was 2009. We didn't have nearly as many constitutional carry states. We didn't have nearly as many Castle Doctrine states. And so like the steady advancement, you know, the creeping incrementalism that we're so worried about eroding our rights has actually kind of worked in our favor in a lot of ways, and that we have just step by step taken back more of our rightful liberties that we were born with to be armed, and things have gotten better in that respect. But on the flip side, you know, I'm sitting there watching the news and looking at things, and you know, we now have Hamas and Islamist protesters on college campuses. And somehow, in that respect, the left in this country has gotten even more degenerate and more depraved and worse. So gun rights are up, and the depravity and degeneracy of the left is actually also way up. But that's a big negative.
So I want to kind of lock down your comments on the fact that we're moving forward and we're winning. I want to keep that in the box right now and go back to that. But, Neil, all of your years, not just on this program, but all of your years as a White House correspondent on television, long time years prior to that, writing about this for many large publications online as well, going all the way back to Human Events. You and I first physically met at an NRA convention many, many, many years ago. And
that's right.
I felt like you. I was honored to meet you because I had read so much of your work over the years. And you had listened to Armed American Radio, and you kind of felt the same way about me. And it was this weird meeting of the minds.
Well, we were of a like mind, and we saw the world, and we saw the battle for gun rights. It was sort of grounded in the same place. You know, frankly, from my perspective, you came at it as a guy who didn't necessarily want to have a gun, but had to have a gun, and turned out that, you know, that gun, at a critical moment, that gun was prevented a possible crime, and so that's sort of, you know, obviously, you know, it's like, you know, spent time in the service and everything else, but for me, you know, it's I think I would prefer not to have a gun.
Mm-hmm.
you know I'm not into recreational, I'm not into collecting, and you know, but I remember, you know, having a conversation with my dear father, you know, I don't know, 40 years ago or whatever, and he was explaining to me that in the state of Massachusetts, there was the obligation to retreat. And he told me this because a buddy of his in the Knights of Columbus, you know, in the fourth degree of the Knights of Columbus, you have a sword, right, as part of your get up with the, you know, with the, so So the story, so Brenovich, somebody came into the guy's house. The guy didn't have a weapon. The only weapon he had in the house was his ceremonial sword from the Knights of Columbus. And the guy basically took out his Knights of Columbus sword from the closet, ran the guy through, and then that guy was getting busted. And my father was just going crazy because he didn't understand how the country he was living in and the country that he served in uniform was a place where you had an obligation to retreat. And so really that's where it all sort of that conversation with my dad is where it all starts. And so I think that's why we're kind of locked in on the same freak mark.
All right. When we come back, Justin, I'm going to go to you because I'm going to tell the story of what Neil referred to and my affair with guns over the years and get the perspective from all of you here in America's Armed American Radio's roundtable as we move forward in the next 15 years. We'll be back with the group. Don't go away.
Gallagher wanting to let you know that the crew of the Desperado Sport Fish in Virginia Beach, Virginia supports Armed American Radio and the Second Amendment, and I'm right there with them. Now back to Mark Walters.
Oh, yeah, back to me indeed. Ladies and gentlemen, what a program it's been today. I honestly, it's quite humbling, frankly, and I've got these congratulation notes from folks. And Greg, you know Christopher Hart from American Adversaries,
I do.
Right?
Yeah, I've run when he's filled in for you.
Yeah, Chris is one of the few people. He's one of the now. How many people have filled in for me? Mike from Arms Room Radio.
Yeah, we've got Mike. We've got Chris. We've got
Andy, of course.
Obviously,
Bill Frady. Those are the only four that have ever filled in. No one has ever sat in this chair on Sunday, and no one ever will. And that's not anything to do with them. That's my commitment to you, listeners. This show belongs to you. Christopher Hart sent me some audio, and again, I've not heard it, but I know Christopher and I trust him. So let's listen to what he had to say.
Hello, Mark Walters. This is Christopher Hart of the American Adversaries Radio Show down here in Orlando, wishing you and Armed American Radio a happy birthday. 15 years of high-powered broadcast excellence. Great job, man. You really deliver the goods. You're fast with the draw and great with the analysis, and you really leave your listeners well-prepared for the next day and whatever's coming next. So congratulations. Keep up the great work. I look forward to listening Sunday nights, Monday through Friday, as you continue to deliver the goods. Once again, congratulations and happy birthday, Mark Walters, from Christopher Hart of the American Adversaries Radio Show.
Wow, very cool stuff to get from these folks who matter. And these people all matter, and they've all played a pivotal, significant role on Armed American Radio and Armed American Radio's daily defense. God bless each and every one of them. Let's go back to the roundtable. Justin, I want to start with you. I want to start where Neil left off. Yeah, I say my affair. I've loved guns, Justin, since I was a kid. And I got really excited, Justin, when I left Pennsylvania and moved to Florida because I could get a Florida permit to carry a gun, Justin. And it didn't dawn on me then that I really shouldn't be excited about having to get a government document to carry a firearm. But I will tell you this, and I think you'll be proud of me, Justin, because you have roots in Pennsylvania as well. When I lived up there, I was working for a trucking company, and they would send me to do sales blitzes in Camden, New Jersey. I don't know if you're familiar with Camden, but it's not the nicest town in New Jersey. And I bought a 25 caliber Raven Arms. Remember that gun, Justin?
Yeah, I remember the Raven.
So remember the little Raven, right? Yeah, the little Raven. It cost me $60.
Saturday Night Special.
Yes, that's exactly what coined the phrase Saturday Night Special, and it came from the time that the young kid in Fort Lauderdale used it to murder his teacher, and that's where the term came from. And then it was banned, and Raven went out of business. But all that aside, I still have that firearm. Justin, I carried that firearm with me, which I paid $60 for, in my overcoat pocket, in my front pocket. Didn't care about permits, didn't know anything about permits. This was in the late 80s, mid to late 80s. I'm dating myself. But I would take it into New Jersey. Didn't care. I felt better knowing I had that firearm in my pocket. Didn't care about the law because I didn't think anything about it because I knew I had a right to bear arms. I could buy it. I just stuffed it in my pocket. It was there with me. I walked differently. I acted differently. I talked differently. And I firmly believe I was never a victim of a crime because of the way I carried myself. Isn't that the way it should be?
Well, you know, the Constitution gives us the right to bear arms, and it should be that way throughout the entire country. But, you know, we've had such massive infringements on our rights to bear arms for so many years, and we really haven't dialed it back until the, you know, Bruner decision. So, yeah, I mean, if you exercise your constitutional rights in carrying Camden and the law enforcement stops you and finds it, they're going to just throw you in this slammer and throw away the key.
Yeah, and that was a long time ago. And the perception of carrying a gun then, I don't know if it was different. I wasn't looking at it from the same perspective that I am today. Brad, I never thought anything about it. I had a constitutional right to carry a gun. I bought the gun in Pennsylvania. It cost, like I said, $60. In fact, I think it was less than that back in the 80s. I think it was about $45 or $50. Nonetheless, it was very cheap. And I don't know that it would have fired if I had to use it at the time, but I had it and I felt better. So I view things differently today than I did then, as I did when I moved to Florida. Everything changed because I could get a permit and I was aware of that. But isn't that the way we're supposed to think, Brad, that we can carry a gun, period? Isn't that the way it's supposed to be?
Yeah, I mean, it is. I mean... Yeah, I spent, you know, my early adult years before I went in the Army. I lived in Memphis, Tennessee, which, you know, one of the most violent cities in this country.
Even then.
And see, it just got worse. And, like, the old joke was you can tell if someone, you know, from Memphis when they tell you a story about the first time they got robbed. Yeah. And so
the first time. You know, like,
yeah. It, you know, and so... It just seemed natural to me that, and I made friends with the campus cops and stuff, and they're still dear friends today. And it just kind of, you know, made sense to me that a law-abiding, peaceful person living in a dangerous place like Memphis ought to be armed. It just made sense. It seemed natural and practical, to be honest with you. And as soon as I could, you know, I started buying guns living in Memphis. And you know, I got my carry permit. I think the weekend I turned 21, which at the time in Tennessee, that's what you had to be to have a handgun carry permit. I went and took the class and, you know, did that whole song and dance. And, you know, like you're saying, I mean, at the time, it didn't strike me as, hey, I shouldn't have to do this to carry a pistol.
Right, you just did it.
It's just what you had to do. And, you know, I'll tell you this, it probably wasn't more than you know, 6 months after that. The very first handgun that I bought, I still have it to say, it was a Beretta 96, stainless steel, inox. So it was a big old belt anchor of a gun.
Great gun, caliber. Though. Great
yeah,
gun.
Oh, it is fantastic. I mean, it's still one of the nicest shooting guns that I have.
Yeah.
And, you know, I carried that thing everywhere I went. And, I, you know, being probably, you know, maybe a dumb college kid, I went to Kroger at like 2 o'clock in the morning because I was hungry. And, you know, I bought my week's worth of groceries, and I was coming out the door, and there was a car parked in the fire lane about, you know, 20 yards up from me from the door, and immediately caught my eye because it was sitting there idling. And as soon as I come out the door, that car comes driving up the fire lane, and I'm just sitting there watching as it's coming up, and there's three guys in it, two in the front, one guy in the back seat. The guy in the back seat opens the door and has his foot hanging out the door as the car's still moving, as it's starting to pull up in front of me. And so immediately I have, you know, the fire alarm's going off, and I had a jacket on, and, man, I pulled that jacket back, and I was clear in leather. And, you know, I'm pretty sure they saw that big old stainless steel boat anchor coming out, you know, coming up. And you know what? That dude in that back seat closed that door, that car floored it, and they left. And I went straight in my car and went home. And, you know, I am positive in that moment that being armed saved my life. Because in Memphis, during that time, even now, the MO is to kidnap people, take them to an ATM, make them draw as much money as they can. And if you're lucky, they let you go. And if you're unlucky, they kill you.
Yeah, and the general rule of thumb, ladies and gentlemen, is never, ever, ever get in a car with anybody that's taking you away, because you're not going to survive it. When we come back, we're going to go to Neil McCabe, and Neil and I are going to reminisce about what happened to me that he brought up in Florida And I think you'll get some really good insight. Don't go away. We'll be right back. Two more segments to go. Segment of Armed American Radio is being brought to you by Patriot Mobile. Visit patriotmobile.com/AAR and use the AAR promo code to get free activation today. Welcome back. Yeah, welcome back indeed to the Carr Firearms Group studios of all places, right? The Patriot Mobile Communication and Command Center fired up for you. Sig Sauer microphone on fire. X Insurance presenting it all. Let me say, I haven't spent a lot of time on this program for 3 hours talking about our partners, but suffice to say, we wouldn't be here for 15 years if it weren't for our partners, ladies and gentlemen. I think you know that. Support them all. You can find them all at armedamericanradio.com. I'll just run through them real quick. But patriotmobile.com, I have a Patriot Mobile phone right here in the studio with me, patriotmobile.com. Yeah, oh, ammo squared. Amazing. Watch your ammo grow. I just got another 30 rounds yesterday. They just keep building. Goatguns.com, fun stuff. BarrelBuddy.com. If you've got guns, clean them with Barrel Buddies. Heaven's Harvest. Need some emergency food supplies? Heaven's Harvest has you covered. DefenderCoffee.com. Greg, I start my day with how many cups on average?
Average two.
Two?
Yeah.
About two, I think is. Yeah, I think that's a fair number. Sometimes it's four, sometimes it's none. It averages to two. DefenderCoffee.com. And when I drink Defender Coffee, guess what happens? A portion of the profits go to the Second Amendment Foundation because that's where I ask them to send it. You can ask to send it to the GOA or other places. Obviously, I'm partial to the Second Amendment Foundation because of Alan Gottlieb and my affiliation with that organization. NorthAmericanArms.com, CrossbreedHolsters.com, WhereOurFamiliesTrain, WAFT.com. All of our great partners can be found at ArmedAmericanRadio.com. All right, Neil, let me go to you. Oh, wait, Greg, yeah. My dad.
Yeah.
So, guys, I've been getting, what do you call it, audio clips from some amazing people.
People just voicing rejoiners.
Just voicing rejoiners that went to the network, and some of them I heard in advance. Most of them I did not. And I got this one from my father, and I chose not to listen to it until it was live on the air. And we played it when, Greg, in the to
first
open
hour.
The show, right?
Yeah, I think first it was first
hour.
One, yep.
And I want to play it again for the people at the table and for you listeners. This is from my father on our 15th anniversary. Go ahead, Greg.
Hey, Mark, it's Dad. Your mother and I want to congratulate you on your 15 years of hosting Armed American Radio. You've come a long way since that first night that we sat in the studio with you when you were doing just 1 hour a show on Sunday evening. And we decided, hey, this could really work. And we've seen how hard you worked at it. So it really didn't surprise us when the show really took off. You've gone from 1 hour a week to 6 days a week, hundreds of radio stations around the country, and that's quite an accomplishment. We want you to know we're very proud of you, we love you, and keep up the good work because the Second Amendment needs you.
Neil, you've broke bread with my father and my mother.
Yeah.
Take it away.
Well, you know, I think, you know, speaking as a father myself, and, you know, you're a father, and you know, your life changes, especially with that firstborn. When people talk about that special relationship with their firstborn, it's like E.B. White said, right? The child is the father of the man. And instantly your entire world changes. And, you know, I could hear that, you know, as a dad, you know, it's like with my kids, and I'm sure every dad listening understands, you have no idea where this kid's going to end up. You have right. No idea what this kid's up to, right?
It's frightening.
And, you know, and it's like, you know, in the going back to, you know, the Telegram chat, you know, AAR conversations, you know, Brad's in there tonight, but, you know, a lot of times Brad's mom's there, and it's like, you know, she has no idea, you know, where her son's going to end up or what was, you know, that he would be running a whiskey company. Right, Brad? I mean, was that on her dance card?
Right? Probably not.
There's probably a lot that she didn't know how to be.
He's going to what? Justin gets it. So, what?
Yeah. So, you know, in fact, you know, and it's, you know, and this is where we are. And so, you know, your dad is a special man. And I've had the honor of meeting him and speaking with him over the years. And, you know, the pride that he and your mom feel. It's the pride all of us feel, you know, and it's, you know, this show, when you were talking about, you know, the affiliates or the different companies, like, you've done so much for so many different companies that nobody would have heard of, so many different businesses that nobody would have heard of, but then they say, I didn't realize how much I needed this, right? Whatever it is. And you've given, over the last 15 years, you know, and I know you were going to talk about the story.
Yeah, we'll go there in a second.
You know, that I referred to, but it's like, there's so many people you have given a platform to for their story, and it's been sheriffs, it's been victims of crime, it's been attorneys who are trying to spread the message, it's been different candidates have been on, and it's like, there's so many people in this country who could never get their voice heard except on this show, and that's a remarkable thing. And so, you know, it's like, as the show has grown, we've grown. As the show becomes more powerful, we become more powerful. Hmm. And it's because you've been so generous, Mark. Let me leave it there.
Because it's about listeners. It's about listeners. It's pretty much that simple. It's about you, listeners. So, Neil, I'll take this. You brought this up, then we'll go to Justin. But I used a firearm in 2002 to defend myself in a situation where the day earlier I might not have had a gun. This was after I moved from Pennsylvania to Florida, and I was all excited about getting my Florida permit. Yay, I get to have my rights infringed and beg the government for a permit. But at that time, which in that time was 1991 or two, Florida's permit had been around since 1987, I guess, that gave us the modern permit system that we know. Other states had it, but not as we know it today. And I was all excited. Yay, here's my government card. But I was carrying, at that time, a Glock 36 that I didn't know was going to fire because I had issues with it. Because I had, and I won't name the company name, I've said it before, but I had a laser deal in it, and about every third shot failed to feed because the spring was bad. But I had that gun that day, and I never had to fire it. And my daughter, who is now, and you've met my daughter, Neil, my daughter at that time was 2 weeks old, and I was bound and determined to go home that day. And because I pulled my firearm that day, I went home because the gun did its job without my having to pull the trigger, which I was fully prepared to do. And you know, when you mentioned before the love affair of the gun, I had always loved guns. I always been fascinated by guns. And like most people, it was really a curiosity as I was a kid, right? As I was a young kid. And it became more as I got older. And then it became, wow, my life is on the line. And the gun saved my life that day. I am convinced of it. That turned into a column. That column for a magazine turned into years of writing, which turned into eventually to this radio show. And Justin, let me take it to you. Because I carry your guns. And I, at that time, Justin, had it been the day before, I might not have had the gun, Justin. I carry it with me 100% of the time now as a result of that. Does that surprise you?
Well, it's good that you're carrying your gun there, Mark, because, you know, I just wanted to say that your dad's testimony there was very heartwarming and, it reminds me that, you know, my father supported me in my endeavor to make firearms and to develop a
yep.
arms. And he has been for his entire life, even, you know, coming out of communist North Korea and being in the far in East Asia, where guns are pretty much outlawed for civilians. He had always promoted arms for, you know, civilians. Because he believed that civilians needed guns to fight the communists if they invaded South Korea or even Japan. And, you know, he was, in that regard, a trendsetter. And, it really, you know, the words your dad said made me think about that, too. So, I appreciate your sharing there, Mark.
Yeah, it was when I got that from my dad, I was one of those deals. I didn't want to hear it beforehand. So we just played it live. Brad, when we come back, I want to go to you in large measure because I want to continue to talk about what happened to you in Memphis as it compared to what happened to me in Florida. Because based on what Justin just said, unfortunately, we could have a 3-more-hour conversation about that. We just don't have 3 more hours. We have 1 segment, so we'll try to cram it all in. But it's very, very important. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Armed American Radio's MonsterCast, our 15th year on the airwaves. 780 straight shows without missing a beat. We're very proud of that. Hope you enjoy the program as much as we enjoy bringing it to you. We have one more segment in this classic AAR roundtable back right after this break.
Sebastian Gorka letting you know that the Desperado Sport Fishing Crew in Virginia Beach, Virginia supports Armed American Radio and our right to bear arms. Now, back to Mark Walters.
Ah, there you have it. So we have one segment left. Let's jump right into it. Brad Primo, there was a day I might not have carried my gun, Brad. And had it been the day before November 18th, 2002, that would have been November 17th, 2002, when my daughter was less 13 days old. Now, you know, at that time, she was 14 days old. I might not have had my firearm, Brad. And after that, everything changed. You're a parent. You get that, right?
Yes. I was kind of thinking about it. I mean, you kind of forget about what you cared about before you were a parent, right? I mean,
I guess you never thought about it, maybe. I don't know. It was what you forgot. You just didn't think about it in the same sense. Well, is that right?
I'm thinking back, like, you know, my daughter's 7 going on 8, and I'm trying to remember 7, 8 years ago, like, what were the things that were important to me? Like, what mattered? Like, I have a hard time remembering it because, like, honestly, like, you know, life, you know, I'm not going to say it started over, but it definitely took on a whole nother, you know, a whole new light, you know, when you're a parent and, you know, you have a child that's looking up to you in so many ways and also depending on you, for literally everything. And, you know, I have a daughter and, you know, I don't consider myself a feminist or anything like that, but I mean, I'm also not going to deny the fact that there's a lot of evil in this world that is directly solely at females.
Mm-hmm.
And as a father of a daughter, you know, I owe it to her to prepare her, to set an example for her for what she should expect and how she should be treated by a man, but also how she should deal with the inevitable dirtbag that's going to cross her path because it's going to happen.
Yeah, it's inevitable. You're right. Sadly.
It's inevitable. It's going to happen. There's going to be a dirtbag that crosses her path, and how is she going to deal with it? Well, you know what? My daughter, from the time that she's been aware of her surroundings, has known that her dad is armed.
Mm-hmm.
Plain and simple. It doesn't matter. It maybe it's a knife, probably a gun, definitely a knife and a gun. Like, you know, it's something. And, you know, and she's asked me before, like, hey, what is that a gun? What are you carrying a gun for? I said, well, you know what? Like, it's a tool. And I was like, you know what? There's a lot of bad guys out there in the world, and we're probably not going to see one today. But if one shows up, guess what? Dad's going to handle it.
Called preparation. That's called preparation.
Exactly.
And that's what we talk about on the show all the time. Neil, you've met my kids. You know my kids and my parents. So you come from this from a little bit different perspective. But you mess with my daughter, I'm going to kill you. It's as simple as that.
Yeah.
Now, I want to point this out. When I say my daughter was 2 weeks old at the time, my daughter suffered from a condition when she was born called tachypnea. She had a lung issue where half of her lung was filled with fluid, and she spent about 4 days in a hospital after she was born. She spent 1 day in neonatal care and then about 4 days in a hospital afterwards, and it was really painful for us because we couldn't bring her home right away. So when I say she was 14 days old, she was, but she'd only been home for about 7 or 8 days of that time. And I knew at that moment in time, like Brad was describing, I'm going home to my daughter, dude. No, this isn't going to happen. Meet Mr. Firearm. And that's exactly what happened. And I had taken a lot of training at the time and a lot more subsequent to that. But I knew I was prepared that moment. And that changed my life. That split second. And the whole thing lasted maybe 28 to 35 seconds maximum. Because it was at a traffic light. But during that 25, 28, 35 seconds, I had pulled a firearm on two people and had my finger on the trigger, Neil. That is a profound, life-changing experience.
Yeah. And if something had happened, right, you would have protected your daughter's life, but you know, your professional life might have been over, and, you know, you would have been strung up, and maybe in 2 or 3 years you would have been acquitted on appeal. But, hey, friend, especially back then, you know, it wouldn't have gone well for you. You know, and it's, you know, you talk about Camden, New Jersey. You know, Camden, New Jersey, for decades, was the headquarters of Campbell's Soup. And, you know, it's like they were trying to keep Campbell's Soup in Camden. And they were like, hey, guys, I don't even know if they're still here, but I know there's like this huge argument. Like, they've, over the years, they've slowly moved their offices out of there because you can't even ask people to live there.
No,
it's so insane.
It's awful.
And there are places, and today, just as we're talking, there are people in their cars who are making decisions of what, you know, and they're saying they're making decisions to drive 2 or 3 miles right. out of their way because there are
to
places
avoid
in this
it.
Country that are abandoned by the police, abandoned by the police.
And, Justin, you know, Neil, let me go to Justin with this last minute, because you're spot on. Justin, I'm going to ask you a blanket and give you the last word on this 15th anniversary show. Where do we go from here, Justin, after everything we've talked about over all the years we've been doing this together? Where do we go from where we are right now? Take us to the final music.
Well, we soldier on. What else can we do? We fight for our rights and our right to bear arms in a way in which the founders intended, where, you know, basically law enforcement, any law enforcement beyond what is necessary to not have anarchy is tyranny. So we need to keep on pushing back against the ban, against the structure of control, so that we can maximize personal liberty for the common guy. Because after all, God loves the common man. He made so many of us.
So I'm going to throw this out, which will be very controversial to the liberals listening. But if they bring a knife to this fight, we should bring a gun, shouldn't we?
Absolutely. You should always have a gun.
Brad, we still have a couple minutes, or about a minute anyway, maybe a little bit less. You agree with that?
Yeah, I mean, like the way forward is you keep your 2 feet on the ground, you keep your eyes on God, keep your hands on your gun, and, you know, the only fair fight that you're in is one you're losing. So you bring a knife, you bring a gun.
Oh, you know, Neil, as you know, I've written 3 books, 2 of them about being armed and being unarmed, and I've told the stories of people who told me the most harrowing experiences in their lives. Some of them had a gun to defend themselves, some of them did not. One book is Lessons from Armed America. The other one is Lessons from Unarmed America. We have 20 seconds. Which one would you recommend to be, Neil?
Yeah, the question is almost absurd. We have to be armed. You have to be armed until there's that point where it's okay not to be armed. And right now, it's going completely the wrong way. And, you know, for 15 years, this show has stood up for the Americans who have forced themselves to be armed, and for the Americans who want to enjoy guns, gun collecting, gun firing, and there are a bunch of people who somehow they think that's a problem. And,
well,
and this show has stood as a beacon, like that shining city on a hill, for those people who want to preserve and enjoy the Second Amendment. And thank you, Mark.
Neil, thank you. And Justin Moon, thank you, my brother, for your support. We wouldn't be here without you. Brad Primo, CEO, Lead Slingers, we wouldn't be here without you. Neil McCabe, my gosh, you've been here with me for almost all the 15 years. Ladies and gentlemen, it's been an amazing program today. 15-year anniversary, 780 shows. And guess what? Next Sunday, 781. Nothing's going to stop us. And Armed American Radio's Daily Defense is going to get up and do it again tomorrow, precisely because they don't want us to. Thank you to each and every one of you, listeners, partners, and all of our friends. We love each and every one of you. We'll see you on the radio.
You've just filled your prescription for freedom with Mark Walters, presented by X Insurance. X Insurance on the Armed American Radio Network.